You're not supposed to make me cry before we start. Those should be fine. You need that. Well, it's a privilege for me to be here this morning. And Dean Griffith is with us as well. He's one of the elders at Cornerstone and Spooner and rode along with this morning. And so it's good to have him here as well. As I was preparing for this message, we've been in James as a church, and so I just felt like the Lord was going to have me share from somewhere in James. And as I was preparing that, the Lord just talking to my heart, no, that's not what I want for you. And so we're going to be in 2 Timothy today, and so I just pray that there's a reason why God had me go to 2 Timothy instead. And maybe it's just for me, because a lot of times as a pastor, the Lord actually speaks to the pastor first and what is going on in their life before they actually bring a message. And so, but I do pray that we'd all be touched by God's word this morning. I do want to briefly maybe just share who I am. I wasn't planning on doing this, but I think it's good before you listen. So just real briefly, Andrew Melton. I was born and raised in the Spooner Shell Lake area and raised in a godly home, part of Cornerstone Church in Spooner. Probably since I was 4 years old, so part of the foundation when Ned Berube was there, when we met in a little house right across from the middle school, and so a part of the church at that time. I felt like my mission field, though, probably with 8th grade, freshman year, a couple teachers had a huge impact in my life that were non-believers, and I just saw the impact that teachers can have in people's lives, and I felt like that's where the Lord was calling me into the mission field. And so I'd share with the body at the time, you know, I was a full-time missionary under the disguise of a teacher. And so I did that for 15 years, physical education teacher and coach, helped out with wrestling and football. And 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, Tom Kelby, who you guys know, was pastoring at the time at Cornerstone, took my wife and I out to dinner and just said, I feel like the Lord is calling you into pastoring. And he wanted to do more with Hands of the Plow ministry. My first response right away was, no, I don't think so. I just finished my master's in education. I feel like that's what the Lord has for me. And he said, pray about it, and I did. And the Lord immediately said, no, this is what I have for you. And like Joey mentioned earlier, learning to hear his voice and learning to hear the word, instead of thinking we have the right way and we have a quicker way or a better way of doing it, it is so much better, so much more peace when we are following in what God has for us. And so my wife and I said, yes, let's move in that direction. And so just so you guys are aware of it, and our body knows this, so this isn't my thing. I hated speech class. I don't like to write. Spelling and grammar is awful, so I'll mispronounce stuff in the word today. And so you have to bear with me on that. But that's just who I am. And I think it actually brings glory to God, because all the stories in the Bible, if you see it, Moses, whoever it is, saying, I can't do this. He's like, perfect, then I'll use you. Because he gets the glory, and I don't. I do have today some clips that I want to show. Let's see if this is... Oh, pardon, went through there. Some of these are a little disturbing. I know we have a few younger ones still in here this morning. But I just went through, and I took the time to actually watch some of these video clips. But the point today, I just want you to look at some of the titles here. And like, this video was horrible. It's a woman just being attacked on the street. You can even see this guy smiling in the front here. And nobody did anything. And they interviewed him later on and stuff, you know, what's going on. But they were just used to it. Nobody stepped in. 18 shootings on U.S. school campuses in 2018. Child opioid death. I'm just talking about drugs. The advancement of some of that, and children, and all over our culture. This one's a little blurry, but a hunt for a man who threw a puppy off the apartment roof, just threw the animal off the roof for no reason. A baby abandoned on the side of the road. Man with autism randomly attacks. Again, I watched the video clips on this stuff, and it was just horrific. For no reason. Minding his own business, and a couple people came along and just start beating him up. a teacher that was taking advantage of a student. Gender identity in public schools, and thinking about some of the stuff we're facing today in our culture. Uber driver murdered. And you would think maybe it was the man that did that to the young lady. It's actually the opposite. This young girl murdered this man. Kidnapping. A baby beaten, declared brain dead. Somebody's skipping through here. Nanny cam catches a child beating. And watch that clip. They show it on there. The lady just got upset because the baby was crying. Multiple stories. You guys have heard about this. And the church shooting in Texas. This is just a confession. Again, watch this. Listen to some of this. About a murder. And just talking about the me generation. And again, this one's a little bit blurry too. I apologize for that. So let's pray this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning to worship together. And as Joey said, to have fellowship with other churches, that we are not on our own, but you got people all over the nation, all over the country. You're gathering your people. You're gathering your bride for your return. And I thank you for that, Lord. And I thank you for the opportunity to worship together this morning, dive in your word together. And Lord, I pray that even starting off with this bad news, there is good news. There is hope of a Savior. But Lord, I pray these words would penetrate our hearts. And we would not only be hearers of the word this morning, but we'd be doers of the word. So we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. Does this phone have to be out for this to...
It's just recording.
I just have a Bible. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Are we in the last days? Are things getting worse? And what should we do? Before we dive in and answer those questions, I'd like for us to turn to Acts. So if you turn your Bibles to Acts. Acts 2. Starting in verse 14. Actually, let's start in verse 11. It says, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, they're filled with the new wine. A lot of you probably know the story at Pentecost, where these people are hearing the gospel in their own language. And instead of saying that that's from the Lord, they were saying, these people must just be drunk. What is going on? And here's Peter's response. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days that shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day.
And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter's quoting from who here? It says it in the passage. Who is he quoting from? From Joel. So he knew the word, and he's quoting from Joel. He's interpreting scripture here, and he's applying to what just happened at Pentecost. He's saying the Holy Spirit is being poured out on God's people here. He's saying these are the last days. The Holy Spirit is being poured out. This is happening. This is what's happening right now. Acts 2:17 says, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And Peter's saying, this is happening right now in front of your eyes. Just as was prophesied by Prophet Joel is happening. The last days are beginning right now is what he's saying. And in verses 19 and 20, he gives some details of what might happen at the very end, whether these are literal or symbolic. The last days will lead to the last day, when God's wrath will be poured out on all earth and also on all those who have denied him. Now, all this might seem depressing this morning, but here's the good news. There is good news. There's always good news. And you don't know the good news unless you've heard of some of the bad news. You don't know how good it is until you've seen it and you've tasted the bad news. Verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Everyone, everyone, praise the Lord for the good news. Praise the Lord that there's hope this morning. There is hope this morning. Are we in the last days? I would say absolutely. We are in the last days. Peter just says that. We are in the last days. As Christ came to this earth, as he lived a perfect life, as he died on the cross, and as he rose again and sent into heaven, then he sent his Holy Spirit. He's saying we are entering into the last times. We are entering the last days. You may ask this morning, well, then how long before the last day? And I tell you right now, I have no idea. And anybody that tells you that, I'd be careful. Why? Because the Bible says we will not know the day or the hour. Mark 13:32, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." It's interesting. Who didn't know even then? It says, neither the Son. Jesus walking the earth, perfectly God, perfectly man, he didn't know the day or the hour at that time either. I believe he does now as he's at the Father's side. So we don't know. But just like Timothy was called to live as if he was living in the last days, we too are called to live as if Christ is coming back soon, as if we're living in the last day. Our life needs to reflect this type of living. Our good works need to reflect this type of living. Our sharing of the good news needs to reflect this type of living, doesn't it? We need to share the good news. These news clips that people are seeing and waking up to every day of their life, they need to hear the good news that there's hope this morning. There's salvation in Jesus Christ. I want to reread the list of sin or vices from 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3. Starting in verse 2 there. And I want you to notice as I read through these, the misplaced love. Verse 2 says, "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." Lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. See, having love this morning for God, having a love that goes so deep for your Creator is so critical. We all need to check our hearts this morning, don't we, and ask, Am I truly a lover of God? Verse 5 says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. Appearance of godliness. What would that be? An external appearance. They have an appearance on the outside saying, yeah, I'm a follower of Christ. I go to church. I was raised in a church. I do that thing. Outside claiming that, but what happens on the inside? And God knows the heart, doesn't He? He sees our heart. He sees our intentions. Denying its power. The Holy Spirit at work in and through a believer should produce fruit in our lives, shouldn't it? Don't deny the Holy Spirit power in your life to change you and to produce fruit in your life. What is some of that fruit? Holiness, a repenting and turning from our sin, perseverance through suffering. We've heard of some suffering this morning. Even as believers suffer, don't they? They still can be facing trials on this earth. We're actually promised those things. So we need to persevere through those. And we need to have an effectiveness in advancing the kingdom of God. Paul is talking about people who claim to know God, but there is no evidence of the Holy Spirit changing their lives. God is not the love of their life. We are told here to avoid such people. And that seems harsh. Why would you avoid them? They need to know the truth. But these are people claiming to be followers of Christ, but denying the Holy Spirit's power to work in them. We know God can show grace and bring forgiveness, can He? If they repent. But Scripture says there is a place for excommunication. There's a place to exclude somebody claiming to be a Christian from the fellowship. Why is this so important? Well, look at verse 6. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burned with sins and led astray by various passions. If these people are not dealt with, they will lead others to sin. These women, says they're weak women. Why are they weak? Well, those that are burdened with sin from the past hurts, from the past sins in their life, they're at a spot of vulnerability. They're susceptible to false teaching. And so they need to be careful, and as a church, we need to be careful with those claiming to be followers of Christ but not allowing the Holy Spirit to produce fruit in them. What are some of these false teachings? When we studied 2 Timothy as a church, we went through them, and I'm just going to give you a couple examples just Paul gave in Timothy. Here's one. It says, 1 Timothy 4:3, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And I'm not going to go into depth in this, really, what that is, but think about it, promoting artificial self-denial. That's what these false teachers were doing and trying to get the people to fall into a trap of that. 2 Timothy 2:18, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. Here again, the big picture, they're promoting poor theology. Paul describes it in Timothy here. I'm not going to go there today, but again, acceptable to false teaching. And then today's verses, 2 Timothy 3:2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy. False teachers teaching that all sorts of sins are acceptable, that it's okay, that you can get by with it. Verse 6 says, these women will be led astray by various passions. What are those passions? Well, I believe we're already told, lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, and the list could go on and on. Lovers of these things, but not lovers of God. Verse 7. Always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. False teachers are learning. They're learning information. They're gathering this information. They continue to learn, but they don't arrive at the knowledge of truth. What are they learning from? Maybe from others. Maybe from books. From the internet. Maybe not at that time. What might someone learn today? Even from those that call themselves believers, what are some things that might happen today that we might learn that the false teachers are teaching? I'll just give a few examples here this morning. Maybe you disagree with me. But homosexuality is okay. You'll hear that on the internet. You'll hear it from even those that are called pastors. gaining and learning, but never arriving at the knowledge of truth. Maybe it's okay to get divorced if you're not happy. It's better just to live with someone instead of getting married. Men haven't done their job, therefore God has called women to eldership and pastoral roles. Again, being fed these things, learning, continue to learn. We're learning new things, but never arriving at the knowledge of truth. Truth is knowledge. The rest is just information. I'll say that again. Truth is knowledge. The rest is just information. Look at verse 8. It says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. Again, I don't know if I'm pronouncing those guys' names right, but it doesn't matter. So these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly would be plain to all, as was that of those two men. The Bible doesn't give us any other indication of who these men are. This is the only time their names are mentioned. But scholars have used other ancient writings from outside the Bible to conclude these men were probably Pharaoh's magicians that rose up against Moses. And I just want to go there. Some of us might not be familiar with that story this morning. So just quickly, if you turn to Exodus. So in your Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus. Exodus 7. Starting in verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, when Pharaoh says to you, prove yourselves by working a miracle, then you shall say to Aaron, take your staff and cast it down before Pharaoh, that it may become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and did just as the Lord commanded. Aaron cast down his staff before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh summoned the wise men and sorcerers. Then they, the magicians of Egypt, and again, scholars would say, probably Jannes and Jambres from our story this morning, also did the same by their secret arts. For each man cast down his staff, and they became serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staff. Still Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. God had Moses and Aaron. And here we see Pharaoh had Jannes and Jambres. Whenever you have the real, Satan will always try to bring the counterfeit. We need to know that today. Satan will always try to bring the counterfeit. He will lie. He will lie. He will lie. We are reminded that adversaries will rise up against Christ to oppose the gospel message. It's going to happen. But Paul is convinced that error and Satan's schemes will not triumph in the end. And here's an example in our story today. What will happen to the enemy? He will be swallowed up by Christ, just like we see in the story in Exodus. Back to our text this morning, 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. It says, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. The who here is talking, this is Paul talking. In contrast to those who have an appearance of godliness but no power, Paul's life is an example of the changing power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in someone's life. Paul went from having what? He had information. And what did he do with that information? He persecuted the Jews. He persecuted God's people with all kinds of information, thinking that he was doing the right thing, to having the truth in his life, knowledge. And what happened? It transformed his life. Here's some of the things in verses 10 and 11 that changed in Paul's life. Think about it. He gives some examples here. It says teaching. What happened to his teaching? It became sound doctrine. My aim in life, lover of God rather than lover of self or lover of money and lover of pleasure. Paul's aim in life became to serve his King. A transformed life because of the Holy Spirit working in him. It says, my faith, which would be what? Trusting in Christ every day. Every day. When things are going well and when things aren't going well. My patience. Paul talks about his patience. What did he have patience with? Well, he's just sharing about it. Patiently enduring hardship while being pursuing Christ and the things of his king. He faced all kinds of trials and tribulation. Love. Love for Christ and a love for others. A steadfastness through all his trials, persecutions, and sufferings. What an absolutely amazing example of a transformed life by allowing the Holy Spirit to change somebody. But that's exactly what God does. That's who God is. And that's what he wants to do in your life as well. That's what he wants to do in my life. Transform every one of us. Verse 11, it says, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Paul cites the incidents on his first missionary journey, a time when Paul first met Timothy. Timothy would have recognized that Paul was telling the truth when he says, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Timothy was there, he saw it with his own eyes. Unlike the false teachers, Paul is truly an example of a life touched by Christ. Romans 8:11 says this, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This morning, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it should change your life forever, shouldn't it? If that same Spirit, think about that. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. If that same Spirit lives in you this morning, is dwelling in you this morning, it should change your life forever. Verse 5. Having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. We want to hang around those who have been touched by life-changing power, don't we? That's who we want to hang around. Verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Oh, I don't like that part. Let's just take that verse out. Who does this affect? Well, what does it say? All of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ will be persecuted. We will face trials. Think about it this way. Jesus goes into ministry. He goes where? Right away into the wilderness. Right? And he passed the test perfectly. And we're so thankful that he did. The Israelites go into the wilderness. They didn't pass that test. Now we have one, the true Jew, that does. Jesus passes. You get the same opportunity. You claim Christ as your Lord and as your King and say, the Holy Spirit is dwelling in me. You're going to be in a wilderness at some point in your life, some point in your walk. It's going to happen to say, is it really true? You claim him as king. Is it really true in your life? Now, I'm so thankful the Lord is gracious because we do stumble still. We aren't perfect. We're not like Christ. And maybe I mess up in that wilderness. We have others around us. That's why it's so important to be part of a local church, to have others around us to help us and lift us back up and say, you can do it. Be quick to repent and say, but Lord, help me. But there should be evidence in us of a power-changing spirit. There should be. Paul continues to write about this in almost every one of his letters. We spent some time in the last couple of years going through a lot of the different books of the Bible that Paul wrote. And I'm sure the Cornerstone people in Spooner are sick of hearing this verse because almost every time Paul says it, if you're following me, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to have to endure. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to go through that trial. But I think he's purposeful in doing that. He's preparing us and encouraging us that we're not alone in this. All believers are going to suffer for Christ's sake, for his name, for his glory. Verse 13. While evil people and apostles will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil and sin will always get worse. It does not somehow get better. Unless, of course, God enters the picture. Think about those images this morning, the news things. Probably could have taken a local paper this morning and looked in there. Could have found some of those titles this morning here. Right? it's not going to all of a sudden get better on its own. Sin is going to continue to snowball. It's going to continue to get worse. But there's hope in Jesus Christ this morning. Verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. The impact that Timothy's grandmother had and his mother had on him is profound. We don't see it in this verse, but in other verses in Timothy. His grandmother prayed for him, was an example. His mother was an example. Doesn't mention his father in here. But he also had a father figure that was a huge impact in his life, and that was Paul. He had a huge impact, but more importantly, it was Jesus Christ in Timothy's life that changed him forever. Timothy is to continue to trust in the Word of God and what has been taught. That's what Paul is saying. Continue to trust in those sacred writings. Continue to go after those things. He's warning them. And I believe we all need to be warned about this. And I would say especially for our youth this morning. There's a few young ones in here that have been raised in the church. Or maybe just for a few years. I don't know. I don't know your stories. But there's young ones in here. Just like Timothy. He was being told by Paul to get around God's ways, not his own ways. Not to get distracted by false teachers and the things of this world. Don't allow the lies of the enemy to seep into your life. He's saying, remember those sacred writings. Remember what you're being taught here. Remember the things that Joey shared with you through the Word. Don't allow college professors to influence you away from your faith as you go to school. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. It might even be a so-called Christian university. Satan will try to seep in and bring lies. Don't allow the pressures of the world to keep you from believing what you did as a child. Don't allow that to happen. Or the pleasures of this world. Remember the misplaced love that we continue to read about? Lovers of self. Lovers of our flesh. Lovers of this world. Take our eyes off of the true love for our Savior. See, the Bible is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it says here in Timothy. The Word is so important. It should be our guide for everything in life. It should be our guide for everything. Look at verse 16. It says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All Scripture is breathed out by God. This means it can be trusted. Again, for the young ones here, I want you to know that. We have about 40 kids right now coming to our youth, and some are doing really well, and some have a hard time with this. Wondering, is this just myths? Is this just stories? This is what I hear from my teachers. This isn't true. I want you to know this morning. And you don't have to be youth here. It can be an adult as well. But this is the Word of God. It is breathed out by God Himself. It can be trusted. It is profitable for teaching. It is profitable for correction and for training in righteousness. Why? Well, verse 17 says, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. See, the Word of God will train us for everything in this life. I used to ask my students in school all the time, well, where do you base any right from wrong? You know, they like, well, you're a Christian stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but where do you base your right and wrong? This is where we get it from. Everything. It will equip you for every good work, everything you're called to do. The Word of God will equip you for that. Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I don't have time today, but I'm sure you guys know this. You can't earn your way to salvation. You can't earn your way to salvation. You can't do enough good works to somehow earn it. It's a free gift because He loves you. But that does not take the fact away that you were created for good works. See, that allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us as Christ comes, as we receive Christ, it should produce fruit in us. It should produce works in us. There should be evidence of the Holy Spirit in us. Today we find out in these scriptures how important the Bible is in order for us to be competent and prepared for these good works. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, reading, studying, and discussing the word needs to be a priority in all of our lives. It needs to be a priority in all of our lives. I'm going to close here shortly, but I didn't plan on doing this, but just thinking about the Word of God and how important is our life. I have a daughter that's 19 years old. She loves the Lord, and at times seems like she's doing really well, and other times seems like just getting caught up in things of the world. And there was just the other day, my wife and I were talking to her, and she just seems really sweet the last few weeks and was super kind and helping out with her brothers. I have three boys as well, and I was just like, what's going on? I didn't want to really ask, because then it maybe sounded like she's not doing so well sometimes, but I'm like, Abby, what's going on? And she's like, well, I just felt really convicted. I haven't been in my word as much as I should be. And when I've been getting down at work and stuff, I would just turn on some music and stuff that wasn't necessarily Christian music. It might be a country radio station or whatever. And she goes, I just felt convicted. And I've just been in my word, getting up earlier and reading my Bible. And when things are getting tough, I just turn on Christian music and worship Him. I'm like, wow, it's been noticeable. And it's just an example of how important the Word of God is for each and every one of us. And I don't know what your daily walk is with the Lord, but it is crucial. And that was a perfect example and evidence how we might not even realize it as we slowly get out of our Word and stuff, how quickly our flesh is weak and we can just wander from the truth. So as we close this morning, I want just a couple reminders. So are we in the last days? I'd say yes. Ever since Christ lived, died, rose again, sent His Holy Spirit. And we know that because of the Word of God. Peter's saying, right from Joel, it says, I'm going to pour out my Spirit in those last days. So we need to live our lives as if Christ is coming back soon. We need to share that with others as well. We are to avoid these people who claim to know God but deny the Holy Spirit, to change them into followers of Christ. And I'm not saying there's not grace for them and praying for them. We need to do that. For those who do repent and allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify them, they will face persecution. You will face trials. You will face trials as a church, as a young church you're trying to establish and grow. You will face trials because the enemy does not like this. He does not like this at all. But I say, good job. You guys are doing a good job. Keep meeting. Keep worshiping. Keep spreading the word to others. Keep inviting people. But know that trials will come as a church. So don't flee when they do. Don't attack each other. Be reminded of the word we're saying, you're not wrestling against each other. You're wrestling against what? Principalities and powers of darkness. You're wrestling against the enemy. He's trying to attack this people. So remember those things. Just like Paul's telling Timothy, go to the word, remember those things. We are to follow Paul's example in his teaching, his conduct, his aim in life, his faith, his patience, his love, his steadfastness, and his sufferings. While evil people will go from bad to worse, we are told to hold on to what we're taught and what we firmly believe. And I'd encourage you with that this morning. Hold on to the word. The Bible will make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you again for your word. It is so important. And I thank you, Lord God, that you give us these scriptures. I don't know how we'd make it without it, Lord. But these are our guide. These are our tools, Lord. And I pray that for every person in here this morning, that we would be doers of the word, not just hearers this morning, but this would be reality in our life. And that there would be evidence in our life of the Holy Spirit doing a work in us, Lord God. And I know we're not perfect, and I know we fall and we stumble. But Lord, I pray that we would not look the same next year as we do today. That you would prune each and every one of us. That we would grow in our maturity and our walk with you. And I pray for the young ones here, Lord God, that they would love you. That they would stay on the narrow path and they would seek you with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. And they would not allow the distractions of the enemy, the distractions of this world, to come after them. So, Lord, I pray a blessing upon Cornerstone here in St. Paul, that they would grow in their maturity in their unity together and their walk with you, Lord. And I know if that happens, life will happen. And so we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's children said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Andrew.